Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does His successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. Reading from God's Holy Word, as we find it in Paul's letter to the church at Rome, chapter 9. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed, for ever. Amen. Let's give thanks for these words, that such blessing has been given, and though it's not given to all nations equally, yet we read, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles, or to the Greeks. So we are there in line with it, and what we need to say when we read this, for them, me too, or more personally, I too. We need it together. Let's pray that God will give it. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, He who is alone the way, the truth, the life. No other one on earth has been true, only true, and always life, giving thee glory and giving us salvation. And as Peter could say, there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we can be saved. And we give thanks that thou wast given such a name, and that his name was called Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. We give thanks for what has been given, and we pray for what is needed in the present time. We pray for awakening. We pray for reviving in the church. We also pray for awakening and repentance for the world, that together we might be called back to thee. We pray, Father, that thou wilt make thy word known by many laborers called, also that thou wilt make it known in power by the accompaniment of thy Holy Spirit, that it may not come in word only, but with power as it did in Thessalonica, and as Paul could describe it to them. We pray, Father, soon all the ends of the earth will hear and fear and turn unto thee. We also give thanks for the many natural blessings that we have that others do not have, and we pray for those who are in need, and hunger, the homeless, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray for the sick and injured, that they might receive health if it could be thy will. And if not, if there are those who must remain in illness through life, thou would give them the grace to bear under it, and also to learn through it the peaceable fruits of righteousness and chastening, also the brevity of life and the need to prepare for death. We pray, Father, that thou wilt be with the broken homes especially, all of our homes. Thou wilt make us to realize the problems that are there in the homes and the greatness of it throughout our nation and what effect it has. We pray also that thou wilt be with the children in the broken homes. Pray that thou wilt teach the church thy word once again concerning our homes, that what thou hast joined together, let not man put asunder, that we may not continue with the terrible, easy, and sad ways of the breaking up of the home. We pray that we might also teach thy word concerning creation once again in the schools, in the seminaries, in the churches, that we do not teach the lie of evolution, that we do not call thy word that teaches us of creation a myth. We know it is true, and help us to know it, and help us to realize the seriousness that if we do not believe what thou hast given us by the pen of Moses, as thou hast said, Lord Jesus, how can we believe in thee? And we pray that we might rightly realize this and know the danger of it, even as Paul knew the danger of his kinsmen, that we might know it with him of all throughout the world, in whose name we come now once again, Christ alone. Amen. As we continue here, we have seen many blessings given, the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises given to that one nation, the descendants of Abraham, in a particular way, given to them for a time as a theocracy, and especially the time leading with Moses and others later, the judges, the kings. But we know that when the next promise or the next blessing described, and that has not been realized and has not been believed by most of them to whom it was given. As we read in Romans chapter 9, verse 5, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. As we mentioned last message, that in another translation it is, the flesh is Christ, all the time the same, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. As he said of Abraham, before Abraham was, I am. So he is the ever-present one. And we need to see that as the scriptures tell us of it. We have seen last week of some of the prophecy of Isaiah concerning Christ, that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Also, all his names given in Isaiah chapter 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All those are true. He has been given a name that describes him, and the very essence of who he is and what he has done. Would like to continue in what Isaiah tells us, Father in the prophecy of Isaiah. We read in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 14, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell. Are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." Here is much of the description of those to whom Christ was given and came and lived in the midst of them. Here's the answer. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste." We see Paul quoting those words twice in Romans 9. "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Isaiah wrote, "shall not be in haste." Paul quotes it as, "shall not be ashamed." And then he quotes it again in the 10th chapter, verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Twice, what Isaiah wrote is being quoted here by Paul to the church at Rome and to us as well. In the 9th chapter, we read, "as it is written." And in the 10th chapter, we read, "for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Yes, he is a cornerstone, but he is also, sadly, a rock of offense and a stone of stumbling, all because we do not believe in him rightly. And even the time of Christ, he was not believed in the right way. Men were reproved very strongly because they did not believe the scriptures of Christ particularly. We read in the afternoon of his resurrection, when he joined himself with two men walking and conversing, even sad, asked him why they were sad. They asked him if he was a stranger, did not know what had happened. And then they told him that the one who they believed would be a ruler had been crucified, and now was the third day. Though the message of the resurrection was there, Christ said to them, "O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Yes, it is in the scripture, plainly, from what Moses wrote in Genesis, what God told Satan and told Adam, the seed of the woman would come. Also, what Moses wrote concerning Abraham, that in his seed would all the nations of the earth be blessed. And over, we have the message. And here we have it by Isaiah. If it had only been believed by the people who had the scriptures, Paul would not have to have the heaviness and the sorrow that he describes here for those people who had the blessing of Christ born in their midst, lived in their midst, did wonders in their midst, lived, died, rose again, and ascended back to heaven. The Son of God. God with us, Emmanuel. Isaiah speaks much of him. As we read before from the 7th chapter, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. The 9th chapter, describing him as we just read. The 28th chapter, stating, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. Or, as Paul described it, shall not be ashamed. And that is there in a general way, but it is also there for each one of us particularly. Everyone must do, as we read from Paul's words, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. On the day of Pentecost, there was 3,000 that were pricked in the heart. 3,000 pricks. And those who were pricked in the heart asked what they had to do. And they were told to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, with the promise that they would receive the Holy Ghost. There were 3,000 in that one day, but each one of them individually had to do, as we also read in that second chapter of Acts, those that gladly received the word were baptized. They wouldn't say to each other, what are you going to do? Or if you do it, I'll do it. Each one knew their place before God. Each one knew their guilt when the prick came in the heart. And then when they had the answer, they gladly received that answer, the gospel of Christ. And that is what Isaiah is already talking about when he says, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And Paul uses that in his letter to the church at Rome those two times, chapter 9, chapter 10, for them and for us. We need to believe it, not just historically, not just as it happened generally, not just objectively, but subjectively. We must receive Christ. Yes, each one of us, individually. It doesn't come, as some would say, just in the family. It can come to a whole family. It did to the Philippian jailer. When Paul talked to him and to all that was in his house, Paul spoke to him and to all that was in his house. And we read they all believed. They all were baptized. They all rejoiced. They did it together. But each one also individually. And that Philippian jailer was a household of believers. And it was a household that had believer baptism. Different than what some would say, just generally, that the Philippian jailer believed, and because of it, his family was saved. His family was saved because they heard the word of God. His family was saved because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Each one had to learn they were a lost sinner. And so do we today. After looking at this in Isaiah 28, we go on to chapter 50. There we read, sometimes question whether or not it is a verse referring to Christ, but I think if we compare it to a verse in the 52nd chapter, then we can say it very well could be and is of Christ. Chapter 50, verse 6. I gave my back to the spiders, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Certainly that was true of Christ. But when we read about plucked off the hair, we read in Isaiah 52, verse 13, Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled, and be very high, as many as were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which has not been told them, they shall see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. We read there in the 14th verse, His visage was more marred than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. There we may well have the same thing as we have in the 50th chapter. My cheeks to them that plucked off the hair, I hid not my face from shame. If his visage was marred, his face may have been hurt, even his beard may have been pulled out. That's very possible when we read they plucked out the hair and his visage was marred. That is certainly not the end of the story. We might say it's just the beginning of his suffering. And then Isaiah goes on to give us the message of the gospel in that well-known 53rd chapter, beginning with the words that call us to repentance. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That is the first three verses of Isaiah 53. Oftentimes, when we think of Isaiah 53, we think it's the message of the gospel, and it is. But it's first of all a message of us, in our guilt, in our doing what was done when Christ was here on earth, and what we do ourselves in our relationship to Him. What does it tell us about them and about us? He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Isaiah writes that 700 years before Christ. He writes it as if it's in the present time, true of him and of all others. It was true when Christ was here on earth, 700 years later. He was despised and rejected of men. He became a man of sorrows. He had to weep. He had to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and sweat as it were great drops of blood. He was acquainted with grief. But what did we do? We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Even Peter, at the time of Christ being taken in the Garden of Gethsemane and taken to be tried with the high priest and the other leaders of the Jews, Peter denied him. He hid his face. He said, I don't know him. And we are all in the same way. Not all exactly doing it alike. We are all described here in a general way. Rejected of men. A man of sorrows. Acquainted with grief. And the worst, we saw no beauty in him. No beauty in Christ. What a terrible thing. He who, as we sang a few weeks ago, rightly described the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to our soul. Yes, that can come, and it must come, if we are to be true believers in Christ. We must come to see him as he is, as he always was. But here is how we see him wrongly. Despise him. Reject him. And that is true. It is true, as Christ said in a general way to Nicodemus, not only that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, and Christ is the very heart of that kingdom, the gospel. When Christ began his ministry, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Change your thinking so that you might see the kingdom, and not only see it, but be willing to enter into it by faith. Also, repentance to prepare us to enter in, to humble us, to make us come. As the lost sinners, we actually are. All of that is part of the whole of Scripture. And here is a part that often is neglected. We like to go to Isaiah 53, the middle part of the chapter. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. We are healed from what? From our iniquity. From our transgressions, from our sins against God, our sins in regard to the holy law, and our sins that may even be worse, our sins in regard to the gospel. Christ said of the Holy Spirit when he would come, he would reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment of sin because they believe not on me. That's a statement generally of all of us. When the Spirit comes, that's what he will make known. Yes, we may believe about Jesus. We may believe certain things. I've met men in jail that would claim to believe. And why? Because they thought if they'd believe, they'd probably get out of jail. Some of them even guilty, thought if they'd believe that they would somehow get set free. I remember one man who was accused of murder, and he wanted a Bible. And he told me that after he got out, he would want much study and would require much time. But he was convicted of his murder, found guilty, and he stated, here's your old Bible, giving it back. Didn't want it. It didn't accomplish what he wanted. How deceitful we can be, guilty of sin, and lying about it, saying not guilty, and expecting if we pray to God and say, I believe in the Lord Jesus, somehow he's going to set the criminal without repentance, without confession, free. had one man he was guilty of stealing, was angry. I said, did you confess to the judge that you were guilty of stealing? No. He lied. He stole. He lied. Then he prayed to God and expected to get out of jail by that prayer. And when that didn't work, angry. What's going to happen to people when they stand on the day of judgment and find out they've not been set free? They're going to be cast into hell. Only difference then, I think they will know it. Like the rich man who lifted up his eyes in hell. He realized it was too late for himself. He wanted his brothers warned. But many believe in Christ for the wrong reason. We have that in Scripture and in his life. We read in John chapter 2 that many believed on him, but he did not reveal himself to them because he knew what was in the hearts of men. They believed because of the miracles. There's others that Christ spoke to and said, you believe because of the loaves and the fishes. They believed the wrong way. The two men that we referred to a little while ago, that he came and joined and spoke to, they said, we thought it would be he who would deliver Israel. They wanted an earthly king to deliver Israel from the Roman yoke and the Roman bondage. So there are many wrong reasons why people believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but not to the glory of God and not to the salvation of their soul. Even those that are very close, the shallow ground hearers. Christ gives the parable of the sower, sowing the seed, describes four kinds of hearers, the wayside hearer, the shallow ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer, and the good ground hearer. The shallow ground hearer springs up immediately with joy, but has no root. And I know by experience, I was there for 10 years. I thought I had received Christ. I thought I believed in Christ. But it was the shallow ground. It was not the digging deep, as Christ said we must do. And part of the digging deep is to believe what Isaiah said here about us, you and me. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Yes, as Paul said, he died for those kind, enemies, ungodly. He knew us in our sin of unbelief. He died for us in that way. All those sins that had to be repented of and acknowledged. And then, after told we must repent, to receive that message gladly, as they received it from Peter on the day of Pentecost. Then, when there's true repentance, true humbling, knowing we are guilty and deserve hell, we can be saved from hell because Christ paid that terrible price. All we like sheep have gone astray to our own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you believe it? We must, to be saved.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.